All right. I thought I would do some halachot. This is from Rabbi Arya Leibowitz's Sefer, Kohen Olamo. So he's joining YU this year. He's going to be at Yeshiva B'Yitzchak Elkanan. He has an article about bringing weapons into a shul. Let me get it out here. One second. I don't know where it went. Yeah. Now he mentions that in the we're going to see in a minute. He mentions it's so you need Maftir Yona. You got to want to have your anyway. So he mentions in the fall of 2014 there was unfortunately a terrorist incident. I can't believe it's so many years already. It seems like yesterday. But in the fall of 2014 there was a terrorist incident in Har Nof in Eretz Israel where an Arab walked into a shul and unfortunately killed many Jews there. He killed Rameir Tversky's brother and other people. And it raised the issue, under what circumstances is it permissible for people to bring weapons in a shul? So he says that obviously if it's pikuach nefesh, then of course you could bring a weapon pikuach nefesh. But let's say it's not pikuach nefesh. Let's say it's just a situation, you want to be secure, but you can't quite say it's pikuach nefesh. So could you bring a weapon into the shul? So I think people are familiar, that we'll go over it, but there is halach in Shulchan Aruch, against bringing weapons in a shul. But I remember there was a wedding here in Great Neck. This may have been 10 years ago. I remember Rabbi Yonasan Sachs was the Masada Kiddushin. He's the Rosh Hashiva Tura Kalev, not the Lord Chief Rabbi. And one of the participants was an officer at the Merchant Marine Academy, So you're entitled to like one of these sword weddings, and everybody takes out the swords. So I remember he insisted that the people with the swords should stay out of the shul. So in other words, everybody's seen this, they cross the swords and you walk underneath the swords. So that was outside the shul. So we're going to go over a little bit. We'll see how people are interested in this. What's the source not to bring a weapon into the shul? Under what circumstances could you have weapons in shul? So first, the Mechaber, I'm going to shorten this whole thing out. It's a lengthy piece. I'm just making it simplified. So in the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber says as follows. This is in Siman Kuf Nun Aleph. He says, "Mutar li kines peveda kineset b'mat lo b'tar milova pundato." A person is permitted to enter a shul with his staff, his tarmilo pundato. There are certain restrictions in the Beis HaMikdash that don't apply to a shul, and it means like with your staff, your satchel, and your money belt. And then, but that's not the part that we need. He says, "V'yesh osrim li kines bo b'sakin aroch oberosh magula." Some prohibit one to enter with a long knife, or a Rosh Magula, like a bare head. Now, bare head is even outside the shul isn't good, so it's even worse in the shul. We'll see about this in a minute. No covering on the head. So, first, okay, well, we'll see in a minute. So first, when the Mechaber says Yesh Osrim, does that mean that it's subject to machloket, or is it a davar muskam? So he has a whole arichas here where he discusses this, and Rav Avadya Yosef takes it that it is a machloket, and the Mechaber is just saying one opinion is this way. Obviously, if it's not a consensus, it makes it a little easier if you're trying to, learn a kula. But he quotes from the Tzitz Eliezer. The Tzitz Eliezer says, no, everybody holds, you can't enter. The only reason that the Mechaber says Yesh Osrim, it's like Yesh Omrim. He says when he can't, when we don't see this mentioned in other poskim, so the Tzitz Eliezer says, the Mechaber will say Yesh Osrim or Yesh Omrim. It doesn't mean that people disagree with it. It's just that this item is mentioned. It's mentioned in the Or Chod Chaim, but it didn't see it mentioned in another poskim. Anyway, but it's more significant what the Aruch HaShulchan says. The Aruch HaShulchan says, he says, now he mentioned two halachot. You can't enter with this sakin aroch, this long knife, or barosh magula. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, what does one thing have to do with another thing? It's like apples and oranges. Like, never mind, like the merits of it. Like, it's like, but like putting two disparate halachot really like from left field, with the home base. It's like that doesn't mix together. But the barosh magula balav hachias. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, anyway, you're not supposed to walk in the street with a barosh magula. So he says, "Venira kamishomer the kach srit lamar." So Ruch HaShulchan says, he thinks it's more logical that this is the way you should read it. B'sakina roch uva rosh megula. It means a long knife that's exposed. And those rosh megula is not talking about a head of a person. It's talking about like the knife. In other words, a knife that's unsheathed. That makes a lot of sense, right? Klomar she'etzam asakin megula she'en abakis. That the knife is exposed. You shouldn't walk in with a long knife in shul. And obviously, this, if you say that's the pshat, it's also, you know, we'll get into an issue. Then if it's covered over, maybe you have more of a kula. He says, "Ukshehu b'kis mutar," but it's, if it's in like a container, it's permissible. But lachein dafka sakina roch. So he says it's dafka. The Mechaber says a long knife. It's a katsar. Yacholot mono to taka b'gadavu b'kiso. If I have a short knife, I can put it in my pocket or my garments. So the Mechaber, the way the Ruch Shulchan is saying, is don't go with a long exposed knife in the shul. Anyway, it comes out, so that those are some of the shittot from Rishonim, but it's interesting, he brings down that the Beis Yosef brings this halakha from the Or Chodkayim, who's Rishon. He doesn't bring any source in Shas, so it sounds like there's no source in Shas, but there are some sources in Shas for this, in the Gemara. And one, we just had sort of in Parshat Shavuot, Parshat Pinchas, so it says there, it says, Vayako mitocha idah vayikach romach biyado, that Pinchas arose from the Eda. Now when it says Eda in the Torah, so it means Sanhedrin. In other words, like, you know, in, you know, Ne'alami Enei Ha'eda, in other words, in Vayikra, so it's Enei Ha'eda. The Eda is the Sanhedrin. The Enei Ha'eda, like the Gedolim, they see what to do. So Eda is like a code word. It means Sanhedrin. So it says in Chumash, Vayakom Yitoch Eda, Vayakom Romach V'yado. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, he says, Mikan She'nichnasim B'chlei Zayin L'Beit HaMedrash. From here, you see that a person is not allowed to take a weapon into the Beis Medrash. And Rashi explains, he says that when, in other words, he leaves the Sanhedrin and then he gets the weapon. That's the way it's working. He says in the Beis Medrash, he couldn't hold the Romach is the spear. So Pinchas wants to confront Zimri and Cosby, you know, who are, you know, in flagrante delicto. And he needs to take a weapon. So, but he doesn't take the weapon until he leaves the Beis Medrash. So he says, so that this, that l'chora is a proof from Shas that you're not allowed to bring the sakin into the Beis Medrash. Now he mentions that the Maratz Chayis asks a question on this. He says, like, why did the poskim see this as something mefurash? That now he, the Maratz Chayis, says that even now again the Mechaber's rules by a Beit Knesset, a shul. So the Maratz Chayis says, and this is by a Beis Medrash. In other words, one place, the main purpose it's dedicated for is tefillah, prayer. That's the Beit Knesset. Another place, the main purpose is dedicated is for learning. In other words, what are most of the activities that take place there? So he says, the Maratz Chayis says, and again, that's the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin. So the Maratz Chayis says, how come the poskim didn't see this Gemara? That the Gemara is teaching that even the Beis Medrash, now he, the Maratz Chayis, takes it, that the Beis Medrash has Kedusha Kala, like less Kedusha, we'll see. He says, from a shul, you can't come with Klei Zayin, and certainly into a shul. That's what the Maratz Chayis asks. Now, he mentions, though, he says maybe you could, he says maybe you could make it in the footnote, he wants to say maybe you could make a distinction between a spear. The whole purpose, the spear has one purpose, and that's to kill people. And it was like a little bit like you know, like a rifle or something like that, or, you know, or like certain weapons, you know, are just made to kill people, you know, with like the stuff with what, you know, the automatic weapons they have, and with the bullets, like a lot of them are just made for kill people. So he says an asakin could be for other things, you know, for illicit purposes, let's say to cut up food. So he says, and that could be, so in other words, there could be other purposes for a knife, but a spear is just like to kill a person. So that could be the chiddush of the Or Chodkayim, that in Hakinami we could only learn from the Gemara something which is only, you know, solely for killing humans I can't bring in, whereas Or Chodkayim, who's the source of this halacha by Yeshua, is teaching me, you know, even a knife, you know, could have multiple purposes, but not into the shul. Now, and he mentions, now he has a question about the chiluk that the Maratz Chayis makes. The Maratz Chayis took it that the kedusha of a shul is greater than the Beis Medrash, but the emes is, which kedusha is higher? You know, let's do the Beis Medrash or Beit Knesset. Let's hear it. Who thinks Beit Knesset is a higher level of kedusha than the Beis Medrash? let's not be shy. Who thinks base medrash is higher than a Beit Knesset? Anyway, so it's clear from the Gemara that a base medrash has a higher level of Kedusha than a Beit Knesset. It's unequivocal. The Gemara says mafurish. The Gemara says that you can make from a Beit Knesset could be converted into a base medrash, because like Malin Bekodesh, you can go up in Kedusha. I can't take a base medrash and convert it into a shul. That's what the Gemara has. So it's clear, and the Mechaber brings it down to Shulchan Aruch. So the Maritz Chayes took it, if I know this halacha by a base medrash.
Realistically, aren't they really both the same?
No, not at all.
You, the base medrash people got it in the base medrash.
No, listen, let's say it was you. We have a base medrash. So here's a chsu. Means, let's say, so the main purpose is studying. We study day and night, and we daven there as well.
Yeah.
But the character, the halacha of that place is a base medrash. It has the din of a base medrash. Other places are primarily just for davening. Let's say the main shul here. So I think it's mostly for davening. More davening than learning in the main base medrash. It's my way of thinking. So hour per hour, I think, is more davening than learning. So that's a Beit Knesset. So they each have different dinim. Like, for example, you're allowed to eat despite, not to say, I mean, the shul has different rules here, but you're allowed to eat in a base medrash. You're not allowed to eat in a Beit Knesset. So you have to figure out, is it Beit Knesset or Beit Medrash? That's what's going on with this. Okay, it's late. Let me wrap it up. We'll bleed out and we'll go on tomorrow. Okay.